Our scripture comes to us this day from 1 Samuel chapter 25, beginning with verse 14. I invite you to hear now the word of the Lord, where it is written, "One of the servants told Abigail, Nabal's wife, 'David sent messengers from the wilderness to give our master his greetings.' But Nabal hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us, and the whole time we were out in the field near them, nothing was missing. Night and day, they were as a wall around us the whole time we were herding our sheep near them. Now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him." The word of God for us, the people of God. Today we complete our sermon series, Bible Jeopardy, the not-so-famous biblical characters. So we take a look at some of the biblical characters in Scripture that we may not have heard of before, and yet the impact of their lives and the way God worked through them made a significant impact in the story of God's redemption of the world. And so today we're looking at Abigail, and her story is bound up in this larger story of David. David is not yet king of Israel. King Saul is still there, and David himself is on the run. And so he and his men, about 600 men, are out near the border of the desert, and it happens to be where a gentleman by the name of Nabal is having his massive flocks being fed by his shepherds. Over 2,000 sheep are out there, and he is a very, according to Scripture, a very wealthy man. And there comes a point in time where he is going to shear all the sheep. And during this time, it's usually a festive time. And so David, who's had his men out there, and they've been helping protect all of these sheep. I mean, thousands of them is exactly the kind of herd that wild animals would want to come in and take some. Other nation states would want to come in and take some. And so David and his men have been protecting Nabal's property. So during this time of festival, David sends a couple of servants over to Nabal and says, "Hey, you know, I mean, we've been out here, we've been protecting your property, your flocks. You can ask your own shepherds what it is that we've been doing for you. Is there something that you can help provide for us during this time?" Seems like a fairly reasonable ask, but Nabal's response is, "Who is this David? Who's this son of Jesse? Who is Jesse? Who are any of you? Why would I give my bread and my water and my meat to someone like you?" Now you have to realize that at this point in the story, this is David. This is David that all of Israel knows. He is the young man who defeated the giant Goliath. This is the young man that is told just a few chapters earlier about the women who sing his praises, for as Saul has defeated his thousands, David has defeated his tens of thousands. This is the David who was Saul's right-hand man. He was the right-hand man of the king until the king became jealous of him. This is David. Everyone's heard of David. Someone with the property of Nabal, he knows who David is. And so he just sends these insults back to David, and David's men come back, tell David what it is that Nabal said. David, for his part, does not take this so well. Now, up to this point in the story, we can tell David's heart is being shaped and being formed to become a future king, but this is a point where things aren't going so well for him, and he jumps up, he tells his men to put their swords on, he puts his sword on, and 400 of his men race towards Nabal's property. They leave 200 behind to protect the supplies, and David has a very clear mission in mind. He is going to kill every single male in Nabal's household. Well, thankfully, a servant learns about this and races in to tell Abigail, Nabal's wife. Now, according to the Bible, she is very beautiful and very intelligent. And it's interesting when we think about the contrast between Nabal and Abigail. Nabal, we learn in the story, his name means fool. And as a fool, he doesn't listen to David. He ignores David. He disregards David. And so we now hear Abigail. And if Nabal's the fool, then what is Abigail? She's the wise woman. That's right. She's wise. She doesn't disregard David at all. She listens to his request. She immediately gets to work. She has all of her servants and her maids, and they start getting to work. They prepare 200 loaves of bread. They prepare several sheep already dressed and ready to eat. They have large sheaves of roasted grain. They had over 100 cakes of raisins. They had 200 cakes of pressed figs. I mean, this is a monumental meal to be able to give to all of David's soldiers. And I was talking with Pastor Jen earlier about all of this food, and she said, well, of course, because the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. She said, how do you think I got you? And thinking back to it, back when Jen and I were dating, I lived on the West Coast, she lived on the East Coast, I would drive all the way across the state, and I remember she was so adamant, she wanted to know exactly when I was leaving. And I now think about it, it makes perfect sense. It's amazing that every time I arrived and knocked on her door, ding, the bell to the oven would go off and fresh baked chocolate chip cookies were coming right out. It's amazing how many fresh baked chocolate chip cookies I ate while we were dating. And then we got married. Someone after the first service, she came out, she said, you know, she stopped giving you chocolate chip cookies because she loves you. That's when we transitioned to broccoli. I have a feeling that 200 cakes of pressed figs is more in the chocolate chip cookie realm. And so she sends all of that. She puts on the donkey. She fills them all up. She sends her servants out ahead of her. She gets ready, and she's prepared to go and meet this man who she knows is going to be the future king of Israel, but right now he is preparing to come and destroy her whole household. And it's interesting, as the story goes, David himself, he's traveling along. He is furious. His pride has been hurt. And he is mad. And it says that they were just entering into a ravine, and he makes this promise. He says, may God deal ever so severely with me if by tomorrow morning daylight every male of Nabal's house has not been killed. That's literally what he says. He enters into a ravine, and during that ravine it's so narrow that he has to run right across Abigail. And Abigail approaches this man who is filled with fury and filled with pride. And what does she do? She humbles herself before him. She humbles herself. She refers to herself as his servant. She says, here's all of this food. And she says, please pardon me, your servant. Please consider all the offense that has been done to you as if it was me doing it. And please pardon me. I wasn't there when your servants came and made the request, but I have heard your request now, and I have given you all of this to help feed your men. It's amazing what happens with David. Suddenly, his heart begins to soften. Here's a man filled with wrath and pride and going to bring about his own vengeance against someone else. And she comes along in humility and stops the whole thing. And I think about the way that God works in the world. The way of wisdom and the way of humility. I think about how it is that God works to make a change in our lives. Do we remember the writing of the Apostle Paul as he's writing to the Philippians, and he says, Jesus, the Son, did not consider equality with God something to be exploited. Rather, he emptied himself out. He poured himself out in love, humbled himself, and took the form of a servant. And he lived this life in the form of a servant throughout his whole life. He walked the dusty roads of Galilee, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. He wasn't born as a king with great fanfare. He was born as a baby with no place to stay, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. His life began in humility. His ministry was a life of humble service and humility. And he walked all the way to the point of the cross, pouring his life out in humility for you and me. So that we can be touched by this love and not pushed back by it, but attracted to it, drawn to it. A love that is willing to humble itself so that we may be drawn into it, that we may begin to know who this God is, who so deeply desires that you know Him. The love of God is a humble love. And this is the love that we see in Abigail, a wise woman, humble in heart. She approaches the man who is going to wipe out her entire household. She asks for his pardon. She lays herself out before him. It touches his heart. And what's amazing is what happens next. Because she has now asked for his pardon. She has said that, you know, let all blame be upon me. Here's all the food that you need. David hears her words. He begins to stop his whole forward movement towards her household. But she's not done yet. If we keep reading in verse 25, she does something very bold. She begins to instruct David of something that he knew, but in his pride and wrath he had completely forgotten. She said, "You are going to be the future king of Israel. And you cannot just go out and kill the people under your care. That's not how it works. You are going to be the king. And if you do what it is that you are planning to do, that would have carried through your legacy the entire time." What a bold thing to say to a man who is coming to wipe out her whole household. But she had the wisdom to know how to respond to him. She had the humility to be able to enter in and get underneath that pride so that he could hear her. And then at that point, she could speak boldly to him the truth of God. Imagine if David had carried out what was in his heart and what he had planned to do. The whole pages of Scripture, his whole legacy would be different if it wasn't for Abigail. And I think about the power of speaking out of humility. To speak boldly, but to speak boldly grounded in wisdom and humility. We find this throughout the pages of Scripture. We find how God shapes and forms people so that they can speak out of humility. I think about the Apostle Peter. How important he was as a disciple. How important he was in the shaping of the early church and the proclaiming of the gospel. And yet we hear for the Apostle Peter, right before Jesus is taken captive, what does Peter say? He says, "Everyone else may desert you, Jesus, but I won't. I'll be right there with you the whole time." And then what happens? Jesus says, "I tell you, when the cock crows three times." And what does Peter do? As Jesus is at trial and someone identifies him in the crowd and says, "You were with Jesus, weren't you?" And he says, "No, I wasn't. Never heard, never been around him." Denies Jesus three times. Peter's heart is crushed. Afterwards, he realizes what it is he had done. He had left his master. He had left the man that he had promised just a little bit earlier that he would never leave him. Peter's pride had been completely undercut. And thanks be to God, it had been. Because later on, the risen, living Jesus comes to Peter and he asks them three times, "Do you love me, Peter?" And Peter says, "You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." And from that point on, Peter is now living his life not out of pride, not out of his own self-determination that he's going to follow Jesus no matter what. Now he lives each and every day knowing that if he is relying on his own strength, he will not get that far. But now he speaks boldly because he relies on God's strength. So God desires a contrite and humble heart. Because if we are going to speak God's word in the world in a way that people can hear it, in a way that can help stop where people are headed, so they can begin to know the love of God, then we need to be a people who can speak out of wisdom. Be a people who can speak in humility. Be a people who can speak the truth in love. And so we have this beautiful example and story in Scripture of Abigail, someone many of us have never even heard of, but because of her determination and her wisdom and humility and boldness, the legacy of David is what it is. If the story ended right there, it would have been enough. But it continues on the very next day. She goes and she tells her husband exactly what happened. She wanted to let him know how close he had come. And it says in the Bible that when he heard what had happened, his heart stopped and he became like stone. Eventually, word got to David that Nabal had passed, and David himself became king. And so he sent message to Abigail and requested that she would be his queen. Amazing how God worked all of this out. And so may we be a people of wisdom, God's wisdom. May we be a people of humility and contrite heart. And may we speak with boldness in God's love. And may we allow God to exalt us in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we just thank you for this amazing, humble love that you poured out in Christ Jesus. The Christ who is our wisdom and is our life. Lord, may we be continually shaped and molded and formed so that through us, your light, your truth, your love may be made known in the world. That it may not only hear your words, that it may receive them. Lord, we thank you for this gift of who we are in you, and we thank you for this calling you have placed upon us. Lord, give us your courage, your wisdom, your boldness, and your humility. For it is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.